Good evening. Glad everybody was able to show. Well, throughout life, with all the different trials and temptations that we deal with, there's one saying that many people are probably used to. And that saying is, when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. And we know that's definitely easier said than actually practiced. And so today, we're going to be going to the book of James. We're going to be covering chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, throughout the Bible, we have seen many people turn defeat into victory. And instead of staying or thinking that they cannot win or that they won't progress forward in their situation, most people turn to God. And as we all should turn to God as Christians, and they are able to have success during that. Now, there are many people who blame different type of issues on their life decisions, but we can all become victors and have a success story. And despite what happens on the outside or the trials that we go through or the temptations on our inside, when we have faith in Christ, we can experience the victory and we can experience spiritual maturity. So the book of James, it was written by James, which is half-brother of Christ. Now, during Jesus' early ministry, James was not a believer. He did not believe that Christ was the Son of God or the Messiah, which, even though, you know, a lot of his, through his first 30 years, Jesus didn't have all those miracles that he was performing and the healings that he was doing. So James, when you think about it, he's growing up just like any of our children today, growing up playing, working alongside Jesus and with his other brothers and sisters. And so it would be tough, when you think about it, for James in that situation to believe. And because he would see him doing these things and he would kind of be confused, wondering what is going on. And so we would also have to kind of wonder at the same time, one of the things that would also inhibit James and maybe his other brothers and sisters to believe is, did Mary or Joseph, did they ever actually tell James or anybody else about the situation with the angel? It's like, hey, did they tell them that an angel came and spoke to them? Did they let them know that the Holy Spirit is the one that impregnated Mary? And the most likely answer is no, because that would be, in that day and age, would be extremely dangerous, because obviously a little kid's not going to keep that information to himself. He's going to spread it around, say, hey, this is what my parents are telling me. And in those day and age, they would have considered it blasphemy, and they probably would have got stoned. So most likely they were not told. Now, when we look at verse 1 here, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now James here, when he's writing to the fellow Jews that are scattered abroad, it means it's basically those who are outside the land of Palestine at this point. And it is not to all the Jews, but only those Jews who are believers in Christ. And as we read throughout other verses in here, we won't do that tonight, but throughout the book of James, you will see that he is talking to the Jews that are being persecuted as well, the Christian believers that he calls brethren many times throughout the book, that they are being persecuted not just by other Gentiles, but by the fellow Jews as well, because these Jews, once you're a believer in Christ, not only were they not accepted by Gentiles, but then they weren't accepted by Jews either. And so they're being persecuted by rich people that were holding them down and persecuting them. So as we notice that it says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or diverse trials. And the key thing here is, it says, notice when. It doesn't say if you fall into trials. It says, hey, when you fall into diverse temptations, that means that we are going to do so. And that is written throughout scriptures. We see that in many different verses. We can look at John 16:33, where it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." There we see that, yes, we will have tribulation. The same with Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So tribulation is not something that the believers were unfamiliar with. They knew through the teachings that they were going to go through trials and they were going to have these temptations that they were going to have to deal with. Many people think that as soon as they become a Christian, that they're not going to have to deal with any trials and temptations. They think, hey, now that I'm a Christian, my life is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Things are going to go well. I'm not going to have any issues because now I have God on my side. And that is not the case. And that is definitely not what the Bible teaches. Now, there are some trials that we face today that we bring on ourselves, because the Garden of Eden, once, you know, Adam and Eve were kicked out, God cursed the land. And so there are issues with the land, and then we think of the progress we have made with all the different ways we make food and all the chemical plants, and we know that there's some water that we drink that is, if you drink it, you're going to be sick. So there's some sicknesses that we bring upon ourselves just from the way we eat or the things we drink. And then we have accidents, disappointments, tragedies. There's so many different times of different kinds of trials and temptations that we deal with. Now, when we look at count it all joy, count is kind of to consider or to evaluate, because James, it's kind of tough to believe. It's like, why would you say count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations? Because we know when trials come, they're never encouraging, right? I mean, we can think about during COVID, this whole last year, there are many Christians who, and non-Christians, but many Christians who lost jobs or were trying to figure out, where am I going to have food? How am I going to pay rent? Or how am I going to pay my mortgage? And so there are so many people that were just living, because most Americans live paycheck to paycheck, and so they're trying to figure out, how am I going to survive? And that's definitely not an encouraging trial that you want to go through. It's not a situation that people like. But James is saying, hey, consider it all joy. And how we do that in that circumstances is one of the things we must remember is a promise of God. So when we look at Matthew 6:25-34, God kind of explains with the birds how, hey, I clothe the birds. They're able to eat. They're not falling over sick from not having any food. You know, I take care of them. And guess what? You're more important than they are. So should you not trust that I'm going to take care of you as well? Because I take care of just these little birds. And the important thing there is that when we focus on that, just to remember that if God says we are more important than them, and they take care of, and he takes care of them, then we can have complete confidence that he will take care of us. And even though as Christians, yes, there are some people who, you know, lack food and water, even in different countries, you know that people, yes, they do starve and they die. But we know that this scripture here in the Matthew 6:25-34, when it's talking about the birds, when you compare scripture with scripture, you realize that Christ is saying that everything we need to fulfill our mission or of glorifying God and sharing the gospel, he will provide. And he's going to provide that our entire life until our time is done. And everyone's time is done sooner or later. We don't know when that is, but until then, he's going to give you what you need. And as Christians, we are to live for the things that matter the most. And one of the things is Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it's interesting to see, it says here, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So Christ himself had joy. Knowing the suffering that he's going to be going through, that joy was because he knew the end game. He knew he was enduring, he was persevering through what was coming. And he said, you know what, I know what's going to happen, but I'm going to have that joy because in the end, I'm sacrificing my life for all fellow Christians who come to faith in him. And then I'm going to be resurrected and I'm going to sit at the right hand of God. And one day I'll come back and bring all my followers with me. So that is the joy. He's not looking at the present circumstances in his life, because we can still be upset a little bit and, you know, be worried. But no, we're not supposed to worry. But temporarily, everyone always will have worry or frustration, anger. But we just, it's only temporary. It shouldn't be a permanent thing that's continually going on in our life year after year, month after month. It is something we take to the Lord and know that we should have joy, knowing that our circumstances are only temporary. Now, if we value physical or material things over the spiritual, then we will not be able to have that joy. And what is the purpose for the trials that we will go through? Well, in verse 3, we see, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And patience there can also be translated as endurance or perseverance. And so we know there's times that our faith are tested, just like in the Old Testament we talk about God and Abraham, faith and works, how that works together. And in Romans 8:28, it says, "Now we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So here when we look at verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So it's saying you must know, you must understand that when your faith is being tested, that it works in perseverance. It brings about that perseverance. And you're not to quit. You don't give up. And when we know, there's many people I hear that use Romans 8:28 wrong. And they'll say, all things work together for good. And I heard it, matter of fact, a pastor the other day on TV. He was talking in the news. And he said it, but he didn't say the rest of the verse. And I immediately thought to myself, well, it's not true. All things don't work together for good for everybody. There's a stipulation here. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. So that's the only time that all things are going to work together for good, that God is going to use it. It's for them that love God and are called according to his perseverance. Now, there's an old saying that says that if, the word if, is the biggest little word in the Bible. And you may ask, well, why do they say that? And when you look throughout Scripture, you see there are many promises in the Bible. And there are many promises that basically say, if you do this, then this is going to happen. Not as in a work salvation type thing or anything like that. It's just a promise of, hey, if you do this, then this is what will happen. And there are many times that God is telling us that if we do our part, then he will fulfill one of those promises. So, but we have the responsibility to do that in order to get it. For example, in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." So there's a stipulation there too. It says, if, the word if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So it's also, if you love, then automatically you should be keeping his word. The two go hand in hand. And then he says, and my Father will love him. That is a promise that if we love him, we keep his word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. There's three promises right there if we just love him and keep his word. Now in Romans 10:9 also says, and if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So here again, we're seeing another one. If you confess with your mouth, and if you believe in your heart, then you will be saved. Another verse, 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And these are just a few passages, but all throughout Scripture, you will see that stipulation involved. And it's just the same as in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's a stipulation there. The trying of your faith, it works perseverance. But you have to allow it to be tried. You have to be willing to go through it. So our spiritual life depends on these trials. We grow spiritually through the trials. And we also will grow through just reading God's word. We'll grow through our trust, our obeying, repentance. All these things must happen in order for us to continue to grow spiritually. And we are supposed to evaluate ourselves constantly to see, are we still in the faith? Are we still doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we still obeying God? Are we still living the life that we're supposed to live with our speech, our actions, do we look and act like Christ? And when we look at verse 4 here, it says, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So entire can be translated here in the Greek as complete. So it can be, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may perfect and complete, wanting nothing, to be kind of whole. And because he's not going to work in our life without our consent. That's not the way he does it. And God wants us to become mature Christians, which happens through our sanctification, as we are growing in Christ throughout our life as Christians. We become more and more like Christ as long as we first read his word so we know how we're supposed to live and what he says. And this is the key to actually changing and becoming Christ-like. But this is only if you're willing also to go through that trial. There are some people that hide from trials of life and they never really grow. So if you don't try to do something because you're afraid, that you're afraid you're going to fail, well, then you've already failed. So when we think about growing spiritually, we can also apply this verse to the story of Jonah. Now, Jonah, when we read that story, he didn't really grow spiritually. He hated the outcome of what God did. Jonah was not afraid to go to Nineveh, despite how evil Nineveh was. He wasn't afraid. He just didn't want to go because he knew God would have mercy. And we look at Jonah 4:2, and it tells us this is the reason. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So he knew beforehand, he's like, you know what? I know God is going to be merciful. He is. That's the type of God he is. And so he's like, I'm just going to leave and try to go as far as I can the opposite direction. And once God brought him back through the fish, he does what he's supposed to do. He goes in, tells everybody he's supposed to repent. And at the end, he's impatient. He's upset. He's angry with God. And so he didn't grow in any type of patience or perseverance at all. In fact, once he was sitting there looking at the city, hoping to see the destruction and realizing it's not going to happen, he asked God, you know what? It'd be better if I was dead. Just take my life. And it didn't even stop then. Then once he fell asleep and woke up the next day, again, it was the same thing. He's like, you know what? It'd be better for me to be dead than to be alive. And so in that situation there, he didn't grow at all spiritually. He didn't learn from it. And so he was accusing God of, hey, why should I even do anything if you're just going to be merciful? And that's definitely not the attitude we should have. We should definitely hope he's going to be merciful in all situations, even if it's someone or people that maybe that get us upset. We should pray and hope for the salvation and mercy. Now, thinking of that in another way is for today, think about when you're pregnant, and for the ladies, you're pregnant, you have a baby, and can you imagine if that baby never grew? If that baby just stayed a baby the whole time? Can you imagine you had to bottle feed the baby the entire life that you're alive? As long as you're alive, you're constantly bottle feeding that baby. You're having to carry that baby everywhere you go. For some Christians, that's the way our spiritual lives are. We have, you know, hid from the trials or quit trials early and didn't want to go through it. And so we never matured in our walk with God. You know, they might even come to church every Sunday, but then they, you know, after that, they just go home. They never read their Bible again. They don't do anything, no thought of God the entire week. And then they come back on Sunday again, and they just do it all over. They stay infants, and some have been infants for years after years. We must be willing to persevere. We must be willing to go through the trials, to endure them, to struggle with them, but still praise God each and every day as we go through those trials and temptations. So what about our Christian life? What are some of the trials that you have in your life that you're going through right now? Now, are you responding to these trials in life in a godly way, in the way that we are to hear with patience and perseverance, knowing that it's going to help us become more mature in God? Or are you responding like Jonah, in anger and frustration, and that you'd rather just have your life be over? There are people who have things happen to them, and it's devastating, and they want to blame God, or they want to just wish that they were dead instead of alive. But we're supposed to keep our joy. We're supposed to persevere through those, and God will reward us for those. So to keep your joy toward God is one of the things we need to do, despite the trials that you go through. You need to remember that these trials are used for a purpose. Have patience to endure the trial to the end so you can complete it, so that you can be mature. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we have to gather together to sing your praises and to hear your word. I pray that you would strengthen all of us during the times of trials and temptations that we know that we will face. Our strength is in you and you alone. And I pray that each trial that we face will mature us and teach us more of your peace and more of your love. May we trust in your promises throughout Scripture and walk humbly in them. Comfort us during our trials and temptations. Help us to rest in your love. Help us to persevere with joy while on this earth. Until then, we pray and we will wait and we will long for the completeness and fullness of our joy, which will come when we gather together with you. I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.